Welcome back, Sega fans, to the podcast so stuck in the 90s, it'll never be remade. It's the Sega Guys with me, Dan the Mega Driver, and the Daytona USA 2001 to my Yakuza Kiwami, it's James the Sega-holic. Mate, how you doing?
I'm very good, mate. Very good. How's yourself?
Yes, yes. Very good, mate. Just been playing around on a few classics in different forms this evening in preparation for this chat. But what I've been enjoying, mate, remember a while back I bought an Xbox One X for less than 100 quid?
That's right.
That little console, I tell you what, I have not missed my Xbox Series X as much as I thought I would, because when your kids get older, if they like games like my lot do, they'll co-opt all your stuff. So I basically lost the living room Xbox. That stays up there with them. So I've got the little One X down here that I've got for under 100 quid. And it's an amazing little machine. Plays all the backwards compatible discs. Outputs at a decent resolution. Hard drive means it takes a little longer to load than the Series S and the Series X. But because the Series S got one of those, but the missus stole that, and that's basically her Emmerdale box.
Her Emmerdale box?
Yeah, watches ITVX in the bedroom. And won't watch it on anything else, because they all the PlayStation 4 and everything else takes too long to load. So, but it's a great. I've been playing Hollow Knight, Panzer Dragoon Auto, Panzer Dragoon Remake, all sorts of stuff on there. Played the Shinobi Art of Vengeance game on there. And it's also got an absolute cracking startup, because you had a 1X, didn't you?
Yes, I've still got it.
Have you?
Still got it, yeah. My daughter plays Minecraft on it now. So, you know, it's ideal for that. But it's a great machine. I think it's one that unfairly kind of got kind of left by the wayside a bit because of Microsoft's policy where, like, if you make a game for, like, the Xbox One, you have to have it for the whole family. Yeah. You can't just have it for like the One X. Because I still think there's a fair few games that since they kind of cut off that could probably have run on the One X. It's got the bottleneck of that 8-core Jaguar CPU that's still in there, but the sheer grunt of that GPU, arguably the GPU would give even the Series S a run for its money, if not maybe even outperform it. It's a CPU that gives Series S its edge, you know. Yeah. So, it's a brilliant machine. Like, my brother-in-law, he actually got one a few weeks ago, and it's the first Xbox he's ever had. And he keeps messaging me, like, I've picked this up and I've played this, and this is amazing. Look how good this looks. And I'm like, he's playing like Forza Horizon 4 and 5, Gears 5. And I'm like, aye, mate, it's a serious bit of kit. It was a major upgrade in 2017, whenever that happens. So it's a brilliant machine, mate. I say that the startup you mentioned, that you get that kind of cool, kind of almost like a segment from the kind of reveal trailer.
Yeah,
you know, you see the kind of the actually close in the motherboard and the chips and you get the it's, although saying that, if you've accidentally left your TV up too loud and you're trying to sneak a shot of the Xbox, then you're gubbed, because it's like, whoom! It's like, you've like no chance. But I know it's a great machine. I think it's a bit unfair that it got left behind because it belongs to that family of consoles, because it's still more than capable.
It could easily run a lot of games, I think, now. Obviously, Xbox One struggles, because that's why I lose out on the Series X, because obviously the kids like playing the latest version of Minecraft, and they keep complaining that their worlds are too complex now, so they got the base Xbox Ones, and they say they moan that they need to play it on my one. I was like, oh, whatever, the middle one comes out of his room to play it, so there we go, mate. But yeah, it's cracking little bit of kit, and it's been good to try a few of these games that we're going to talk about this evening. But what about yourself? What you've been up to?
Gaming wise, not much at all. Not really had much time to play anything this week, unfortunately. Start of the week there, whenever the Panzer Zwei that we'll get onto soon, whenever that came out, I fired up the Japanese Saturn version. Thought I'd play it on disc. Go really authentic. Got to the episode 4 boss, with about half a bar left and got him down to like that, and then survived these laser blasts, and then spat out these little kind of red bastard satellite style enemies that fired their projectiles at me and just wiped me out, mate. I was like, and of course, old school style, you don't just continue and get to go back to where you were. You're back to the start of the level. So it's like, but nah, it's good fun. But apart from just playing that, I've not been doing much, mate, apart from just kind of tweaking this DC unboxing video, which should be finished this weekend. I'm starting to overthink it now, mate. It was meant to be a simple video, and I've started overthinking it. So I just need to finish it, export it, upload it, forget about it. So
yeah. Yeah, I know what you mean. I was updating a video this afternoon. I updated two, actually, when I was meant to be editing a completely different one, which I didn't really make any headway on at all. But yeah, once you start picking at it, it's like a scab, isn't it? Once you start picking at it, you can't stop.
That's that, mate. It's like you just need to eventually just put the plaster on and just leave it the hell alone.
Yeah. But it's getting into anniversary season, isn't it? We had the 9999 celebrations recently. Game Gear is 35 next month. Master System is 40. And well, Mega Drive is 35 in the UK at least.
Yeah. The Dreamcast will be 27 in November. We're creeping up on the 30th for that. It's scary to think that's already 2 years since we did the 25th podcast, yeah, as well.
Jeez, yes, man. Indeed. And yeah, it's, you know, the longer it goes, mate, the more time passes when you get people that are born that when Sega didn't make consoles. And that's a scary thought. Most people playing games now probably never played, were never born when Sega made consoles.
That's Sega's kind of, I would say they're kind of to them like Atari were to us, but Atari was still relevant when we were growing up, you know what I mean, with the ST and stuff like that. So it's not even a really great comparison. I think it's just a case of Sega are just that company that used to make games and kind of make Yakuza now, sort of thing. It's like there's no Persona games, there's no real link to the past, you know, which obviously we'll talk about these remakes shortly as well, which kind of helps with that, but only if they're done properly.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, we've got the people are keeping the spirit of Sega alive. Sega are making Yakuza and Sonic. You know, they're partnering up to make fantastic games like Shinobi Art of Vengeance, and also licensing them out for remakes. Remakes is the topic of discussion today, mate. Before we really get into, I think, the meat of it, I thought an interesting thing to pick at would be a remake. Now, there's a few, I was looking through kind of doing a bit of research as to what games have been remade that Sega, what games have Sega remade, or what IPs have Sega remade, what games have been remade for modern consoles from Sega IPs, what games were remade onto Sega hardware. Part of me started to think, well, technically, most ports are remakes when you look at it in hindsight, because you look at a port today, and you say, when someone says that they ported, say, Borderlands 4, new game that came out, or Hollow Knight Silksong, they ported those to, we've ported it to Switch, we've ported it to PS4, we've ported it to PS5 Pro, etc., ported it to Xbox. Really, it's really the same code base, and effectively, especially on kind of the x86 AMD machines, they're all basically just effectively PC versions with customized settings. Yep. Whereas back in the day, you know, right, we're gonna port Street Fighter 2 to the Mega Drive, right? Well, you can't use the original sprites, and you can't really use the original music, and you can't use a lot of the original code base, so it's basically rebuilt for the sake of Mega Drive. Street Fighter 2 on the Amiga, mate, was a remake. A really crap one.
Yeah. Virtua Racing on the Saturn?
Yes, is technically a remake. arguably a remake to more powerful hardware with extra features. So it does get a little bit muddy when you think of it like that, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Aye. And you look at all the Saturn's arcade ports, you know, you think about, I mean, for example, the two that come to mind, you've got Sega Rally and Virtual On. both made without the SGL, so completely remade from the ground up for the host hardware. So, you know, they're identical in terms of gameplay and instantly recognizable to their arcade counterparts. But even, you know, Mizuguchi himself said Sega Rally on the Saturn is not a port. It's basically the game being remade for a new for a new platform. So
see, when you said that you had two Saturn games, then the two that I thought you were going to say, because we had ports of Daytona USA and Virtua Fighter, but they were effectively remade specifically for Saturn hardware. But then they were remade again as Virtua Fighter Remix and Championship Circuit Edition.
You see the rabbit hole that this, and we've only been talking about 10 minutes, you know. It's crazy, but it's a valid point. You know, you could argue that they're ports. We said Mizuguchi said Sega Rally isn't, but that's already two games that have been remade twice.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it's insane when you start thinking about it like that. But so I suppose strictly when people are referring to remakes, they're talking remakes and remasters. So remaster. I mean, when I was talking about modern ports just now, mate, and remasters basically feel like, you know, okay, well, what we're going to do is we're on more powerful hardware now. Most of the time these days is we're going to increase the settings up to ultra PC settings for the new console. We're going to unlock the frame rate up to 60 or 120. And we might add a few new textures here and there. I mean, you look at The Last of Us. It's a big one. I mean, that's been remastered and remade. And the remaster was basically just the PS3 game, you know, ported to the PS4, albeit, you know, unlocked frame rate, better visual, more consistent visuals. The art style was intact. Then they remade it, and I've got the remake on PS5, and I feel like it looks the same, but there we go.
You see these screenshots, isn't it? It's like, was it Days Gone? And it was like, here's PS4 Pro and PS5, and I'm like, I can't see the difference. It's like, I really can't. I'm sitting there zooming in, I'm going, I can't see any difference. Honestly.
Mate, I don't know if you've ever done this, but I've definitely done it, and I don't know if it's just me, so I might be going out on a limb here and sound like a complete tit, but there have been times when they've said, when I've seen something on social media, usually X or Twitter or whatever, I'll go on there and it'll be like, yeah, remasterer announced, here's the screenshots and the old version and the new version, and I look, do you know what? I think the new version actually looks really good. And then I look at the annotations, and I'm looking at the old version. I think the old version is the version that looks better.
Aye. We've said that before, though, isn't it? It's like, graphics have got to such a stage, especially now. It's like, what kind of gains are we actually getting in terms of fidelity? You know what I mean? It's like, look at Gears of War Reloaded as well, right? Which I had a brief game on. As I said last time we spoke, I'm kind of hanging off playing it until we can get together and do some co-op on it.
Yeah.
But Gears of War has been remade or remastered in Gears of War Ultimate on Xbox One and One X. And then it's been remade again for the new generation of consoles and rival consoles, PS5, obviously.
Yeah.
And you're like, yeah, and they've just redone it again. And it's sharper and cleaner and better texture work and nice consistent frame rate, 60 FPS, looks and runs bloody great. But it feels like the whole remake thing, especially with modern games, like The Last of Us ones, it just feels so lazy, man. It's like, another remake? Really? Like, they're remaking games that are like barely, it feels as if they barely came out 5 minutes ago, you know what I mean? Yeah. So it's like, of course, what we're more talking about is obviously kind of Sega Legacy IP remakes, which is a different ball game altogether.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you're right, mate. And it does feel like a lot of them are, as you say, lazy. I mean, remakes aren't necessarily a new thing. I mean, Mega Man the Wily Wars was a remake of the first three Mega Man games from the NES on the Mega Drive. A game that exists on the Mega Drive Mini, actually. So, actual remakes from, and when we're talking about remakes, we said, well, ports are technically remakes, but really, when people talk about remakes, talk about remaking an old game on newer hardware and taking advantage of all the benefits that they might bring. And you can see the appeal for a lot of it. There have been, a big one at the moment is Metal Gear Solid 3 or Metal Gear Solid Delta, which I see some
Right.
mixed things about. Were you a fan of that one on the PS2?
Nah, I never liked Metal Gear Solid 3. I couldn't get into it at all. I'd love to see like a proper full-blown Metal Gear Solid 1. I keep talking about that Return to Shadow Moses and Metal Gear Solid 4. You know what I
Yeah.
mean? Just on PS3. And like if you put the old, the old Snake, the classic Snake mask on, or because he's
Yeah.
old, but you put the young Snake, sorry, I say old Snake as in old games, but the young Snake mask, and you're creeping about, and he's getting all the kind of Colonel Hind D, and you're getting all the kind of little surveillance camera, and you're getting all these little kind of flashbacks to that level, but the place is obviously derelict now. It's not what it was. And I'm like, oh, could you imagine if they just remade the whole first game? I'm surprised. I'm shocked. It's not been done yet. Why they went straight to three for a remake and a remaster is bizarre. Like the first game completely redone would be phenomenal. I think it would sell by the barrel load. I'd certainly buy it and play it because I love the first game.
Yeah, it's my favorite PS1 game. It
Aye.
seems like that because you see a lot, an awful lot of games. You see most remade, remastered from like the previous generation or maybe the one before that. You don't see that many. That's where you see most of the remakes. You see a few on PS2. Obviously, we had the Silent Hill remake recently by Bloober Team. By all accounts, it seemed like a pretty decent remake. But you don't see too many from the PS1 era, and by PS1 era, that includes Sega Saturn as well. We don't see many Sega Saturn remakes or PS1 remakes, and I think because they did 3D so fundamentally differently to kind of modern 3D rendering, it makes them really difficult to kind of approximate, I guess. I mean, there's been a few. I mean, Nights into Dreams, technically that's a remake. When I look through the list of remakes that are on that's of Sega titles, that one was on there. Got remade on PS2 and then ported onto Xbox 360, PS3, etc. But there's not many there, is there? And I don't know if that makes things especially challenging from that era, especially if it's doing a Saturn game, it's quads rather than triangles on PS1, the way that it buffers is not like you've got all the, I can't remember what you call it now, of all your wobbly polygons and everything.
The texture warping.
Yeah. So I don't know if that makes things challenging. So don't know, mate. You don't see too many from that era, I guess. But it would not be nice to see a lot more games of that era, so long as they're done properly.
Aye. And maybe the graphical aspect of it is the challenge, because I think that's the main criticism of other entertainments, like the Panzer Dragoon remake, the first one. As I've said, it's very, very clinical, I think, is the word I use for it. I think it does come back to the fact that because it was early 3D, because there was challenges for developers to put these games together, because they were cutting their teeth. They were learning on the job. This was new hardware, new art styles, new techniques that maybe, like you said, use the word approximation. Maybe that's what it is. They're trying to, it's not just as simple as it is with a more modern game where you can, as you said, mate, you just take the PC version and just turn it up to ultra. It's the hard work's done for them kind of thing. There's already a very defined baseline version for them to work from. Whereas to go a lot further back to the first generation of true, I'll say true 3D for something that pulls them up. It's like it's sprite manipulation, James. It's not true polygons. But you know what I mean? It's the first generation where there was a mass shift to 3D polygonal style graphics. So I think that might be down to it. It's like in the task of taking these really old games and modernizing them, that they're simply trying to put what they believe modern audiences want to see that game look like. Like, here's some people saying it's like they're giving us Panzer Dragoon and Panzer Dragoon's Vi, how you remember it in your mind. And I sure as hell don't remember it looking like that. I remember it looking like how these do. You know what I mean? But it's, don't get me wrong, it's a difficult task, you know, to bring these games into the modern era. But I think with the right team behind it and the right care and respect shown to them, that it can be done.
I think there's got to be kind of some artistic interpretation of what was in those original games, because obviously they worked their style around the constraints of the consoles at the time. Silent Hill was another one that people always want to see remade, but the kind of the visuals of that, particularly the fog, wasn't solely to convey kind of that sense of tension and terror. It was also to mask the limitations of the PlayStation 1 at the time.
Very
And you see a
clever.
lot of that in Panzer Dragoon. That's why you've got the, VDP2 doing the heavy lifting, creating these vast open areas. They're all empty. And why are they empty? Because it's a post-apocalyptic wasteland. But then, we engaged with that story, we engaged with that setting, and we lived and breathed it, mate. And I think that's the challenge with the Forever Entertainment games. And obviously what sparked off this discussion is the two Panzer Dragoon remakes. And specifically the announcement of Panzer Dragoon's Vi. Now I played Panzer Dragoon, the first remake, over the last couple of days, actually. I finished it off, rather. I got halfway through it not too long ago and just picked it up again. It's not the first time I've played for it. I played for it quite a few times, actually, but I initially bought it. I pre-ordered it, actually, on the Nintendo Switch from our good friends at Limited Run Games. I
Oof.
didn't get it until about 8 months after it had launched on the Switch.
Yeah.
Benefit of that is that when our friend Sega Lord X was doing his video with the 1.3 update, that's when I think they shipped it out. And of course, the Switch cart actually has all the updates on it. So in that sense, if ever, something happened to Nintendo and all their servers were lost and everything, at least I've got the physical game on that cart, which I suppose is the point of it all. But it was galling waiting like 8 months to get something that
Right.
I'd paid quite a bit of money for at the time. That and Streets of Rage 4. So yeah, I've played it quite a bit, and I think what has soured me is the House of the Dead remakes. I think it's those more than anything else, especially that the second one was absolutely dreadful. And I revisited that as well, and I think some of that is unforgivable. But that's not to say, Panzer Dragoon is, I was pleasantly surprised playing it over the last couple of days, but it still isn't right. It's still not Panzer Dragoon. And then if it's not going to be Panzer Dragoon, but it's still going to have the same level layouts, what's the point? Kind of, what is it trying to achieve? And I think that's the question mark over the first Panzer Dragoon. I don't know how you feel about the first one.
Aye, as I've said, there's parts of the levels that you also remember through, like, kind of just memory and having played it for that long through the years. But there's certain parts of the levels as well where the way that the camera turns, they've tried to take the on rails part on a slightly different path, I feel, like, especially in the first level. Like, you come over that little kind of wall where the two kind of creatures go through the water and then they come up on, you know what I'm talking about,
I know exactly what you're
the
talking
ones
about, yeah.
the ones that squeak when you shoot them. And then you get the kind of the archways that have got the kind of the reddish enemies that fire the kind of brown spiky balls. And those archways are the square, but they're arches, you know what I mean? And you fly through them, and there are several of those, and there's some kind of fallen pillars that you need to avoid. Some of them are crossed over, some of them are just kind of jutting out of the water. But in the remake, like, I found, like, when you were going through those kind of archways, like, the camera was moving you round and then bringing you back to it. It was like you were taking us on a direction that was almost like it was pointed at them. It didn't add anything, it just kind of dragged it out a bit. Now, what you said about VDP2 doing the heavy lifting and doing these, vast, endless you know, deserts and wastelands and oceans and whatnot. And that's the thing. It's like the remake, it's too busy. It's too colourful. It's too clinical. It looks gorgeous, but it doesn't look like Panzer Dragoon. Now, people might be going, right, but surely you would want them to take the visuals and just ramp everything up. And yeah, but keep it true to the art style of the original game. That's the thing. It's like art style will always come before resolution and texture, you know, quality. That's the thing. It's people were on X losing their mind. I think it's a lot of what we call like kind of toxic positivity out there. Like people saying, if you don't support these, and we just spoke about it as well, about the new era, new energy. If you want to see more Sega IP, then support them. You know, and it may sound hypocritical here to talk, you know, badly about, you know, the Panzer remakes, but it's like, what is the harm in sticking to, you know, Team Andromeda's vision for it? Like, don't overdo it with lush plants and, you know, over-the-top scenery. It's not meant to be as eye candy as that. It's meant to be desolate. You're meant to feel alone in this post-apocalyptic world. You've just witnessed this dragon's rider being slain. He's passed all his knowledge to you. You've had been given this burden that you were driving. You were riding through the desert with your two pals, you know, half an hour before. You've been given this burden to carry out this mission. And it just feels like the art style was lost. And that's the kind of thing I've got. It's like, if you're going to do these games, then stay true to what made them look great. Try and face that challenge of bringing the games into the modern era, but keeping them true to the art style that they had in the 90s. That's the thing. And I know it's a challenge, but if you're not able to do that, then just don't remake them. It's like House of the Dead 2 remake, mate. That is absolute dung. And again, you get that thing that people are saying, like that toxic positivity. Like, oh, you should be, you know, grateful to see these Sega IP being remade, but you shouldn't just celebrate something because it exists. It's like, it has to be good. It has to honour the source material. Part. You know, exactly. It's got to honour the source material. You know, you can't just blindly go out and just because it's an IP you like and you're seeing it being remade, that it's automatically going to be good. Like, you going out there on social media and shouting for the rooftops about how many copies you're going to buy or how great it is, even though, like, we know Forever Entertainment's recent track record isn't great. You know, look at the screenshots that we've seen as Vi. They don't look great at all. It's much like the first game, it's too clinical, it's too sharp, too bright. It's not like the grittiness of the Saturn game is almost that's what gives it its character. And I think that's what's missing, the character of these remakes. And again, it's because we know the history of Team Andromeda, the tragedy during the making of Panzer Dragoon Saga, you know, the team members that kind of went on and worked on Orta as well, you know, so we know that kind of history. And with that in mind, I think that's why, if you grew up playing these games, or if you've came to these games later on and you absolutely love them, that surely you'd want to see Team Andromeda's vision, you know, retained and honoured as closely as possible. And I don't think the remakes do that.
No, I agree. And yeah, it's, you know, we shouldn't just be glad that they exist. And, you know, the job that the House of the Dead games did, in my opinion, especially the second one, is unacceptable. The first Panzer Dragoon game is kind of okay. It's kind of adequate. I think the problem that I have with looking at the second one is that it hasn't learned any of the lessons from that game or the two House of the Dead remakes. It seems to be back where we are. And when it comes to supporting projects like this, I'd rather they just didn't exist in that sort of form.
Exactly.
So, and the contract, that might sound controversial, but what I noticed when I was rolling the credits of the first game was that there was an awful lot of thanks that had gone out to the Panzer Dragoon community, specifically the Panzer Dragoon fan site Is it Panzer Dragoon Universe? Well, I've used it quite a few times. It's an absolutely brilliant place. So many people that are passionate about the series on there. So people from Forever Entertainment, or is it Megapixel Studios that are doing this? There's people in there that are really passionate about this. So they are trying to do their homework. It's just not coming off. The first stage doesn't have that desolate feel. It's, as you say, mate, it's too busy, too green. You've got the sunken city in the original Saturn version. It's just blue, and then you've got the broken pillars and everything. As you say, mate, it's too much going on. The mountains in the background. It looks nice. And then, the second stage looks okay, but the sand looks too clean. The rocks look too clean. There's too much clarity for everything. It's not a dirty, sandy wasteland. Third stage is okay. The fourth one is really odd because your dragon is like glowing as you go through the fourth stage. It's got this weird aura about it.
That's good. That's the one where you're dropping down and weaving. That's one of my favorite stage in the remake. It's almost as if someone's installed spotlights in the ceiling.
Yeah, the lighting model is completely off.
And that stage loses even the detail. Like the Saturn version of that stage, I think the details of the stage look better, even at the reduced resolution and the pixelated old school polygonal look. I still think those caves in that stage look better. On the Saturn version, they've completely changed the art style of those caves. It's just completely different.
Yeah, I think, and I appreciate it's not an easy job because you look at the Sega Saturn version and you've got basically a mess of sprites that are just jumbled pixels basically on the floor, and then you've got the enemies that jump up from them because they're basically meant to just represent just basically junk and rubbish and debris and stuff that they're all hiding in. But you don't get that sense in the remake. And then episode five, you're in the forest rather than above it. In the original game, I don't know, maybe it's just me, but I got this sense that you were high above the forest with it all below, and the battle's all above. Whereas in the remake, the trees were all aside. I mean, it's not the worst thing in the world. And I kind of come back to kind of because that sort of alternative approach would have been okay if, and I'll get back to that in a minute. Episode six is, to be honest, okay because kind of that dark atmosphere and that dilapidated city is kind of brought across well enough. And then of course you've got the last boss. I think the biggest problem that I have replaying the Meat remake again is that it's beat for beat, the same enemy patterns, the same attacks, the same controls. But it's not the same. I think there's two ways that you do a remake. You either really stick to the source material, you capture the atmosphere, the aesthetic, the vibe, everything that made that original game special. You capture all of it and you bring it through with a fresh look of paint, but retain all that artistic integrity. And I know it's difficult to do at that level, but another game that I was playing before was Panzer Dragoon Orta, and that game succeeds in doing that. That game, third stage, you start out in this wasteland. I don't know if you remember that when you start battling the guys that you just beat the giant monster with in the previous episode. It is just grey. And that game is not afraid to look ugly while being beautiful.
Hi.
That's something that I think that the Panzer Dragoon remakes from Forever Entertainment struggle with. But if they don't feel comfortable with that, I would say fine, okay. But give us something different. So what I mean by that is Resident Evil 2 and 3 have been remade in, probably it's probably about 10 years old now, but they got remade in recent years. How recent is up for debate, but they got remade, and what they did away with the tank controls. They kept the kind of the skeleton of the story. Most of the story and all works exactly the same, but the way the game works, the way the game looks, the way the game behaves, completely different. But amazing remakes, absolutely amazing remakes. Would you play them instead of the original games? Doesn't matter because they're different. What they could have done if they said, well, we can't make this work. We can't make this visual style work like this. We can't make it look so desolate with the tools that we got at disposal, the engines that we've got, etc. And could appreciate that it's difficult. And do something different. you know, do something like Resident Evil Resident Evil 2 remake or Resident Evil 3 remake. Sega's Castle of Illusion remake was completely reimagined to be kind of a 2.5D platformer, and that was really good. There's no reason that there had to be, you know, you then they're kind of stuck in this halfway house where they're neither given this their own artistic vision, their own interpretation, and so right, there's no way that we can replicate what was in the original game. What we'll do is we'll give our own interpretation of that and then reimagine it, you know, different layouts maybe additional levels, build out the story. But they didn't do that. They stuck to the old, the exact same structure in the original game. So then you're playing the original game, but it looks off, it feels off. Everything just kind of takes you out. Not only do you have effectively a different visual style that takes away from the desolate loneliness that you have in the original game, but you also like, it's like you have the big cinematic bit. Obviously, the original game had, it's mostly the same cinematic in terms of what happens in it. I think so the camera angles are changed to the what for the worst in some ways. Like when the rider gets before the rider gets shot, when the Dark Dragon shoots something behind him and it explodes, the way the camera works, I feel like it's so much better in the original game because it the kind of swoops and it zooms in on him as he turns up, and there's this blaze of fire behind him. Whereas it just sort of it looked like in the it looked like when I was watching it the other day, it just sort of went, this one wasn't even that bothered. So I feel like they should have just maybe done something different. And said, right, well, this is our own spin on Panzer Dragoon. You know, we're not going to make it as you remember. The same game is there if you want to play it. Here's something different. But they've stuck to this same structure, albeit the aesthetic is different. You don't have the feel of that desolation, that Mobius influence. And then when you get to a boss, you get a cutscene, which that's not the worst thing in the world. But then you get the enemy's name blast across the top of the screen, which you never got in the original game, and that just completely takes you out of the experience, in my opinion. So you've got all, and it feels like everything they added takes away from the experience. But if it was their own creation, if they did something completely new, then you could kind of forgive it. You know, Auto isn't perfect. It's probably my least favorite out of the original four games. Playing it now, and I've always thought that. But it's still an amazing game, and it does something different. It has its own identity, and it follows on from the previous games. It's not tied to what those games' narrative. And they could have said, right, here's a Panzer Dragoon remake, but we're going to move in our own direction, follow the skeleton of the story, but do something different. But now it's in this weird halfway house where it's neither a faithful remake nor is it something new, and it's worth. Is negligible.
Aye, and again, I suppose it comes down to one budgets. So imagine Forever Entertainment have got the biggest budget in the world, but then that's Sega's fault for giving them their IP to deal with, especially an IP like Panzer Dragoon. The idea about doing something different, aye, I can see where you're coming from. The only pushback you may get from people on that is that then they would go, well, they've changed it too much. It's no Panzer Dragoon. So you'd have the flip side. You'd people say that they've not stayed true enough to the game. And it gets back to what we said at the end of the last show. Can he win? You know,
No.
there's always going to be. But I think you'd be forgiven for losing the art style if you were showing that you were putting your own spin on it. As you say, mate, adding new levels or new weapons. I don't know, adding new gameplay mechanics. I don't know, weapons pickups or something like that. Just try and modernize it if you're
Stick the
going
berserk
to
mode in the first game, for example.
do
You know,
that.
but you could, even if it was an unlockable, always struck me as like, well, you know, we know it exists in the second game, especially if you have it as an unlockable you only get when you beat the game. It's you're not losing anything, it's just a nice little Easter egg. There's no kind of intelligent spin like that on there. They just don't seem. I get the feeling that there's probably, and it's a modern game, so there's probably a lot of people involved in building it. I get a feeling there's a small pocket of people that are really passionate about it, but the rest are kind of, it's just a job. Sorry if that's, that's probably sounds really harsh, but I don't get the kind of the feeling that the source material is really being, people are really going, right, we need to make this right. There's people that are engaging with the Panzer Dragoon community and making sure that it's, you know, as faithful as it can be. But by the same token, I think people probably the, you know, teams of coders they got in there, some of them probably don't give a shit about Panzer Dragoon.
Aye. And other kind of criticisms I've seen of people who have got opinions on this Zwei remake, saying that you're basically saying that the only way to play them is to play the originals. Well, nobody ever said that. You know, if you want to play the remakes, power to you, play them. Like Sticker said, on X as well, you're entitled to enjoy these. We're entitled to criticize them.
Yeah.
It's no, you don't have like nothing that we've said about the screenshots of Zwei is a negative. It's criticism coming from a place of loving these games on the Saturn and admiring what Team Andromeda did. As we've said before, their team's gone. Like as I said before, like if you buy a copy of Panzer Dragoon Saga for 1,000 quid, they're only putting the money in a collector's pocket. Team
Yeah.
Andromeda don't see a thing. They're gone. They're no more. Some of their team members have sadly passed away. So if you're going to bring these games to a modern audience, you need to do it in a way that honors that. And I just don't think the first game, especially having played it, in the second game, from the and I know they're only screenshots, but I'm already seeing comparisons between Zwei and the first game's remake. You can see it's a similar, it's almost like Forever Entertainment have got their own art style that they've imposed on Panzer. It's like the grit, as I said before, the grittiness is part of it, the dirtiness is part of it. And it wasn't just down to Saturn's architecture that it looked like that. Like you mentioned the second level with the sandworms. I think the sandworms look ridiculous in the remake. They look odd. They're not quite as big as imposing either. They just look off. So I say, if you're going to do these games, like remember that there's people who aren't with us anymore, a team who's disbanded that put all their passion into these games. Try and honor them in the process.
Yeah, absolutely, mate. Futsusugi's still around as well. I think he's still making games. Interestingly, obviously, he made that Crimson Dragon for Xbox One. I don't know if you remember that.
Oh man, I never came to anything.
It did come out. It
Did
was
it?
yeah. Yeah, it's, I think you can still buy it.
Did it come out over here?
Yeah, you can buy it on digital stores. It's like 15 quid or something. I've never tried it myself.
I've seen the trailer for that.
It's one of those, it's not a bad looking game, to be honest. But it's but then even with that, similar to Auto, it's got, you know, it's obviously it's a completely different world, but the design of the dragons and everything are much more, you know, interesting. You can see all like their scales and like all the knobbly bits on
It's
them.
really, really elaborate.
Yeah. And that's the problem with I think when you look at the remake, especially when you look at the screenshots of Vi, because you know what my reaction for Spy, and I know it sounds overly negative, but you know I can't, you know I can't be anything other than honest on this channel, really. You know, if I'm not honest, then what am I doing? You know,
So.
that's the thing. I loved Art of Vengeance, and I still love Art of Vengeance. So if I love that too much, I'm sorry, but not sorry. You know. But yeah, my first reaction, because you know, people, if you've seen my House of the Dead 2 demo reaction, it was in my closing argument was there was I hope they don't make this Panzer Dragoon's Vi remake. So my first reaction is, oh God, it's still happening. Oh no, leave it alone. It enrages me. And then I saw the screenshots and it was like, oh, it looks even worse. And you know, there's been some comparisons. Sonic Echoes did captured his on a RetroChink 5X, and you know, side by side. And I quoted it, and it's just to say you can see all these elaborate details in the Saturn version. You know, the pattern, the stone patterns on the floor. You've got a gradient in the sky with the clouds, and you don't have any of that in the remake. There's just no. It just comes across quite soulless. More soulless than the first game, and that really is quite depressing. I do hope that it comes good, and maybe they will put their own spin on it and give us something a little bit different. But you know, those initial screenshots were the overall reaction to them all was overwhelmingly negative, and you know, people were entitled to feel that way, and people were entitled to call it out. I don't think people were excited for these games. Loads of people were excited for these games to be remade, and this has been quite crushing to go through this whole experience, and see them turn out the way that they have done. And no one should be chastised or saying that they've got odd opinions because they feel like, right, well, this isn't really good enough. I think. You know, there's been a chance for Forever Entertainment to put their own spin on these things, and there's been a chance for them to adhere to the source material, and they've kind of gone, as I said, they've gone through the middle and they haven't achieved neither, and they've given us some pretty crappy remakes. As I say, the first remake is okay. House of the Dead 1 is all right. House of the Dead 2 is appalling. Those bloody ragdoll physics, mate. So you see them all like kind of like shove like balloons. When you shoot them down, it's just so yeah. I mean, as we were saying, mate, we will pick it up and it'll feature in the channel. And I do hope it's good, but I can't help but be really worried about it.
And we will go into reviewing it with an open mind. You know what I mean? Because we want to see these games getting remade. We want to see Sega IP, you know, getting brought into the kind of modern era. But that's the thing, people that are having a go at us for criticizing Zwei and you know, the remake and calling us gatekeepers and all this kind of shite. And it's like, well, hold on a minute. So because we've got a critical opinion of that remake automatically because it disagrees with your perspective and your take on it, that you just your toxic positivity that automatically because it exists and it's great, it's a great thing. But on the flip side, we praised the hell out of Art of Vengeance, right? Which done its own spin. Now, Art of Vengeance isn't a remake, it's a brand new game, so there's that kind of turn, that twist on it. But at the same time, if we were these horrible gatekeepy old gamers who didn't want to see Sega IP getting modernized, then we would have been in amongst the people who are on our review of Art of Vengeance moaning at us for daring to say that the game was good.
Yeah.
Again, mate, you can't win.
You can't win.
It's like you can't win. And like the overwhelming reaction to this Vi screenshots was negativity. Well, I say negative. See, people were in my bloody timeline, even making me use the word now. Negative. It's constructive criticism is what it was. Wasn't it negativity? It was constructive criticism. People were critical of the screenshots, and rightly so. The lighting model looks hellish. Like that screenshot you see, of the dragon standing just in front of that kind of tower you mentioned with the gradient in the sky and the wee tower with the cannonball flying out of it, and you can see it on the Saturn version on that screenshot. Sonic Echoes of 5X, and you see all the wee intricate details on there. But the one thing that struck me is the shadow that the dragon casts on the ground. The same screenshot of the same area on the remake, you can barely see the shadow. Again, it's too bright. It's like, it's just doesn't it, the art style isn't there. It's too clean, too clinical, too crisp, too bright. Just everything about it is just, they've not nailed the feel of it. You know, you don't just because it's a low poly version from the 90s doesn't mean that you can't still bring that art style forward.
You can still adhere to that original art style. It's not it's, you see games that have that kind of desolate feel to them in the modern day. You know, There's various games like that. I think you know, something like the Nier games comes close to that sort of feel, you know, where things are broken, dirty, and gritty. And I know
That's a
it's a bit
great
more.
example, by the way. That is a great example. That's a beautiful game. Brilliant game, Nier Automata. It's and it does capture that amazing kind of post-apocalyptic, gritty, dirty look, So it can be done, but they're choosing not to.
Yeah, we'll have to see. I mean, the original Panzer Dragoon remake did get better after a few patches. I think it was pretty poor when it first launched. It launched on the Nintendo Switch only for a start at a 30 frames per second cap, which I don't think it's the worst thing in the world given that the Saturn game is 20. But you know, and then they had to reduce the detail to get it to run at 60. But obviously, running it on 1X, it looks, you know, from a technical perspective, it looks nice. It's just from an artistic perspective, you look at the Zvii screenshots, and I think it is the artistic side. You know, Laggy's just got these kind of flat lizard kind of texture on his skin. It just doesn't feel right, but we'll have to see, mate. But they're the biggest remakes that are coming out at the moment, and that's what kicked off this discussion, really. Just around remakes, it was the focus of the chat is on the Panzer Dragoon remakes and the discourse that's gone around there. You know, we don't when people are entitled to opinions, we're entitled to ours, and if people do enjoy them and think that they look fine, that's fine, and buy them and support them. We do want to see these games survive. My only worry is that if you make a bad remake and that gets into modern audiences, you know, we were talking earlier about how old these consoles are. The Sega Saturn is, you know, it's 30 years old now as of this year. You know, people that played it are our age, 40 plus. If kids get hold of Panzer Dragoon, that's going to probably be the only time that they've experienced Panzer Dragoon. And if it's a bad remake, it's going to turn them off the franchise forever. And if it turned off the franchise forever, then the franchise is never coming back. So, you know, we want what's best for the franchise, and that means better quality in projects. I mean, and Sega are pretty ruthless when it comes to their IP. You know, if it's not making them money. You know, it's like when Paul Heyman's talking about Vince McMahon for something, like, draw me money, draw me. Though, you know, Sonic's as weird as it sounds, Sonic the Hedgehog was sounds like he was pretty close to the chopping block for a little while before the movie came out, because Sonic Team were down to the bare bones. They had a really small team that made Frontiers, and then he had this run with the movies, and Frontiers came out, and a bunch of successes followed, and Sonic Team are bigger than ever now. But you know, there was a period after a few misses that Sega had lost faith in him. But so we don't want that's happened to a lot of friend IPs, you know, after Shin Shinobi Den on the Saturn. No Shinobis until the PS2, and two PS2 games, and then nothing to the 3DS. One 3DS game didn't perform, and we've only just got Shinobi back after 12 years. So, and you think of all the other IPs that Sega haven't got, you know, Jet Set Radio, we hadn't had one of those for 23 years because that hadn't performed well commercially. These games need to perform well commercially, and to do that, they do need to have a certain level of quality. And I think that's the main concern that I have with remakes, because people say, there was someone saying to me, you know, these guys can't be trusted, so why buy it? Because they also did the awful Front Mission remakes, and what was the other one? The beat 'em up. But yeah, they've done a few awful. And the guy was saying to me, why even think about them? You know, just ignore the remakes. But it's for that reason, mate. I want these remakes to succeed. We're passionate about them, and I think if you don't, if they fail spectacularly, then that harms this franchise, and it may ha harm others.
That's that, mate. I mean, as we said in the last show, don't make Utsumi turn as we are not a retro company into, an extension into the software. It's already the mini consoles have hit the chopping block. But as you said, mate, if these remakes, if they're not up to standard, if they're poor, then if that's someone's first experience of that game, of that franchise, is it going to turn them into a fan that's going to want more games? That's the challenge. And Forever Entertainment, as we said, that you know, the original launch version wasn't great, and kudos to them, you know, for with the help of the Panzer Dragoon, you know, community to get it up to that 1.3, to get, you know, they listened to the fan base. You've got to give them credit for that. They listened to the fan base. They got the help and the advice, and they did strive to make it better. But then, as you said, like, you see what they've done with Zvi so far with these screenshots, and you're thinking, did you forget everything? like, surely what you learned for the first game and improving that, then you would have come into this. And especially with the length of time it's been as well, mate, because, like, we thought this was, like, dead and buried. Like, to see that come out earlier this week, you're like, oh, it's still a thing. Because I just thought it just died. But we'll see. I say we'll pick it up. We'll review it. We'll be fair on it. We'll be bluntly honest as we are. So remains to be seen, mate. But we'll
remains
see.
To be seen. It could be. It could be brilliant, mate. It could blow us away. And I'm hoping it does. It's not that I'm hoping it doesn't. It's that I hope it does. But I really am jaded
skeptical.
By the previous word. Yes.
Skeptical.
But, mate, I think, you know, we'll leave that to one side and a couple of other little mini topics that we can pick up on this subject. But on the subject of remakes, one thing I was going to ask is, do you know of any that are incoming at the moment? I think we've got the Echo the Dolphin remakes coming, and we've got, I'm pretty sure, people are always talking about a Sonic Adventure remake, although I'm not sure if that's happening or not now. But are you aware of any other Sega remakes or any remakes that you think, you know, that we should have?
Apart from the new era, new energy stuff, I mean, they're all remakes, but obviously they're kind of remakes. We talked about Crazy Taxi on the last show, how it's got the original city in there, so that's kind of been remade in modern visuals. Like to see being done, man. Leave Sega Rally alone, it's perfect.
There's a remake of that, mate.
Aye. From a shameless grifting so-and-so. that game will never see the light of day, ever. Right, that's just... How many years has it been?
It's the same... arguing with people and banning them from the Sega Rally Discord.
And then getting banned himself and an admin returns. Oh, honestly, man, can he make it up? Oh man, but what's the boy's name on X? Is it Silent he's called, isn't it? The coder, the guy that was asked to join the Discord to help out with Sega Rally 2 mods, and then he get kicked by this fucking idiot. Honestly. But I would love to see Knights get done. Like, see, like, if Sonic Team could be given Knights to try and modernize it. But again, stay true to that kind of 2.5D gameplay. Like, they tried with the sequel on the Wii, and it was shite. So I'd like to see if they could somehow modernize Knights.
Yeah, it's perfect as it is. I mean, when you said that, mate, I felt like doing an Alex Murphy, you know, when he's having an orange. You know, just having a little...
Oh no, Bucket Boys Online.
The remake comes up on the screen and it's just...
I mean, I'd love to see him do a proper 60 hertz version with the visuals of the current version, but at unlocks at 60 hertz with all the physics fixed. That will do. Be happy with that.
Here's the thing. Just release collections of... even if you get emulating, the Saturn emulation's pretty much perfect now.
Mister's 100% apparently now.
Yep. So there you go. Just release collections of the Saturn games at RetroTINK 5X resolutions.
Yeah, there you go.
And, you know, maybe smooth out the frame rates and any kind of polygonal flickering or stuff like that, just kind of smooth them out. But, you know, that would be brilliant.
It would.
Just an actual, a proper Sega Saturn collection. Break it into genres. Break it into the Model 2 collection or the Panzer Dragoon collection. They could easily, you know, now we've got this emulation in place,
you know, surely.
Yeah.
People would buy that. Right, is that, mate, like, just, again, it goes back to what we said, though, isn't it? Like, we think that retro gaming is the center of the fucking universe, but it's nowhere niche. We're so small. It's like, in the grand scheme of things in gaming, we aren't, we're not as quite as big as we think we are, or as important. Yeah. But you've got to think that there's a market for that still. Like I've said it before, the Yakuza games, why can't we just get a collection of all the Model 3 stuff? Like, just sell it as a separate bundle. So we don't have to have save games in each Yakuza game outside the arcade just to play them.
Yeah. I get the feeling that something's coming. There was these rumors around the Sega Online service, the subscription service, you know, especially when they delisted all the other games from sale. Mm. If you don't delist stuff, you don't say, I don't want any more money for that, unless, because a lot of it was stuff that Sega, you know, kind of cost Sega money to keep them up. So you've got to be thinking they've got to be playing something. They've got a bunch of stuff that they're going to announce at Tokyo Game Show, so fingers crossed, we'll see. But
if that online arcade that I mentioned about 2.5 years ago ever happens, I want commission.
One game that I'd love to see remade, probably the main game that I'd love to see remade, would be Burning Rangers. I think it's the one mm-hmm. game which hasn't had a port anywhere else. It didn't even get a PC port. And obviously I love the Saturn version to bits, absolutely adore it, but it struggles, you know, it was rushed out, graphical glitching and stuff. I think, and it doesn't even have to be like, is it Andreas Scholl?
I was just going to say, yeah, he should have shown how good it could look, you know, yeah. If it was remade. I don't know if he's ever planning to do more beyond the kind of initial kind of more demo that he's shown, but that looks brilliant. It's amazing to see that become a full version.
Yeah, and that's not like, I mean, people saying that, oh, Panzer Dragoon can't be AAA quality. It doesn't need to be AAA quality. It just needs to have some artistic vision behind it. And that Burning Rangers music from Andreas, I think, really captures the essence of Burning Rangers. Just fills in the gaps where, you know, the Saturn version was struggling at the time or hadn't been optimized, because obviously this console was on its last legs in the West and the team needed to be moved on to Sonic Adventure, so they rushed it out. But, you know, seeing it all cleaned up and running at 60 FPS, that'd be lovely. I think that would be a game that I'd love to see remade, mate. But the other thing I was going to say,
did you see the post that the Sega sound team put out? Was it last week?
No, I did not.
It was Takeru Mitsuyoshi doing some kind of concert, and he was singing the Burning Rangers theme music. Let's do it. Let's Burning Rangers. Burning Rangers. So good.
If he ever comes over here, mate, we'll have to get tickets.
Mitsuyoshi on tour, get it done. Yeah.
Yes. Next thing I was going to ask, mate, was what's your favorite remake?
Put the spot here, man. I'm going to go for the cheap answer. Sega Rally on the Saturn. It's the cheap, quick, and cheesy answer, isn't it? But
yeah,
it's valid.
It is, yeah,
because it counts. You know, it was built for the ground up for the Saturn, you know, taking advantage of that hardware, you know, remaking the game specifically for that architecture. And you can see the kind of the differences as well, the angle for the behind the car view is slightly different as well. You know, it's not, the arcade version's a lot more kind of drawn back and slightly higher as yep. well. But it's just the physics engine on the Saturn version is just miles ahead of the arcade version. It makes a Saturn game, from a gameplay perspective, a superior game to the arcade game. And again, there's folk online, man, that can't see past graphics and frame rate and resolution and texture quality, you know. And it's like, but it's how the game feels. The arcade version looks so much better than the Saturn version. Yes, it does. So how can you say the Saturn version is better? Because it plays better. But it's half the frame rate. But it plays better.
Yeah.
The physics engine. Now, the physics engine in the arcade game is still brilliant, aided by the force feedback steering wheel. But the physics engine, you know, Fujimoto helping out Sega with that, as we heard for Nick's video, getting that nailed on. Fujimoto himself even says the Saturn game, in that documentary, the footage that Nick got, he says, this game feels like a simulation. That's how good the physics engine is. That on a D-pad, you can feel what surface you're on. You can feel the car lose grip. You can feel it almost kind of a bit harder to turn in the mud. So for them to implement that, despite all the technical limitations, without the SGL, to make a game that good, best game on the Saturn, I'll defend that game until the end, mate. I just think it's the Saturn perfection, arcade racing perfection. It's tied. We outrun 2SP for me. I can't pick one of them over the other. I just think both completely different games, obviously, but, you know, outrun 2SP with that amazing scoring system, you know, so deep that it's just ridiculous. Once it clicks, you start learning how to overtake. With Slipstream, you know how much points you're going to get getting by those rival cars, skimming by them. You better not touch them because you're going to lose half your score. It's I love both those games, but I Sega Rally on the Saturn, mate, it's just, what's a remake? Especially yeah. Whenever it came at a time whenever Saturn was being criticised for the Daytona port, and obviously sitting side by side with Ridge Racer, getting criticised, and then boom. You know, Christmas 95 in the US and Japan, January over here in 96, and just blew everybody away.
Yeah, and it is that Fujimoto inspired handling model that's just the real difference maker. And you know, if you play both of them with the same control, if you play them both emulated, you really feel it. Obviously, if you play the arcade game with the wheel, it's a completely different animal. But if you play the Saturn version with the pad. It's not as great. Well, I've had some fun with that one, with that wheel down there, because that's got the pedals on it. and it's got the
top,
stick.
Is that Top Gear branded?
Top Gear branded, yes. The analog steering wheel, compatible with Sega Saturn, Nintendo 64, and Sony PlayStation.
Order yours now from Argos, only $49.99.
Yeah, it feels cheap. But
the Stig wouldn't use it then, mate. No,
it's good fun though. Playing Sega Rally with it, I'm used to say though. It's hard to play it with the wheel. It took some getting used to, but it's good. My favorite remake would probably be Yakuza Kiwami 1, which is obviously a remake of the first game. Fantastic remake, actually. I felt it got really underrated when it released. I think because it basically is what if Yakuza 1, but with Yakuza Zero graphics and gameplay. Does away with, you know, the Yakuza 1 has a lot more kind of areas. Feels like kind of a almost top down or slightly viewpoint game at sometimes. It's not the behind the camera game that the later games would be. So it brings that game bang up to date. Also, it goes back to, it offers you something different, mate. You know, I really enjoy playing the original on PS2. But I love playing Kiwami as well because it's different. You know, there's that familiarity with Yakuza Zero because you've got the four fighting styles. You know, you've got the beast mode where you throw things about. And obviously you've got the thread through the... you've got the narrative thread that starts in Zero, and then you've got a lot more kind of gravity through all the events and the story twist that happens there. And some more, I think there's more cutscenes added in the remake which really flesh out Kazuya's relationship with certain characters. You should play them one day, mate. I know they're like 100. Well, the first one, Zero is like about 20 hours. The first one's probably about 18. It's when you get to 3 and 4 that they're like 60 hours and 80 hours and stuff. But oh, they're so good.
Mate, I started Zero like, must be a couple of years ago now.
Yeah, I remember.
And I think I got as far as, is it Majima? He had to, was it his opening clubs or something like that?
Yeah, yeah.
That's as far as I'd got to it. And I'm like, but I need to actually somehow find the time to play them, you know, because the whole vibe and atmosphere and everything around that. I mean, I know the kind of later ones, some of them have went to kind of more turn-based kind of combat as well, which
the last two.
Doesn't it kind of sit right? I think they work really well as kind of open world, just like, it's so good, man. Just run around a corner, it's like, it brings up the name of who you're fighting, and the
drunkards,
they just spot you in the odd, and just, as you say, mate, you just start picking up bikes and signs at side shops and stuff, and just beating the living shit out of people. Like, they're saying that. I talk about not having time to play games, but you know, I still manage to find the time to play two Robocop games, mate. But that's just different. That's Robocop, man, to play one of them four times. It's like,
you could have played at least one Yakuza game.
Ah, but does you know, does Yakuza have an Auto 9 with a 6.1 PCB with auto feeder and full auto?
Yeah, checkmate there, mate. It does have Model 2 games in the arcade, though.
Well, again, you know, give us a collection, Sega.
I think that'll bring us nicely to the end, mate. So, yeah, I think, in short, you know, some remakes are kind of a mixed bag, I would say. You know, they've got a mixed legacy. They've been around pretty much forever. We've had good ones, we've had bad ones. You know, even going back to Mega Man the Wily Wars, those remakes aren't really the definitive versions. People mostly play the original NES versions of those. And then you got the Lunar games that came to Sega Saturn, which, yeah, I hear different things. I've never played through either version all the way through, but some prefer the Mega CD versions, some prefer the Saturn/PS1 versions. So, and then, of course, you've got, you know, I feel bad, mate, because as much as we've given it to Forever Entertainment, those PS2 2500 games,
oh man,
they're another level of shite. You know, the Golden Axe remake.
Oh, mate, I binned a video. Remember, I was working on a video of them, and I was like, I can't see anything but just basically hammered these Panzer remakes, which means you don't criticize things, but these are particularly fucking bad, man. Like the Golden Axe one. The Outrun one, it's got the sense of speed, but I don't know. They're just bizarre. I know they were like 2,500 yen. That was the whole point of the Sega Ages 2500, right?
Yeah.
Was they were low budget, but they're just, you know what they look like? They look as if they were meant to be like part of some, maybe like a budget Dreamcast collection of games, because some of the character models in, like the Golden Axe in particular, like they look like they were like kind of like really like kind of, they're almost like zombie revenge kind of style, like character models are just really shite looking, like just. And then you've got the bizarre part of it, then they give you Last Bronx, which is just an arcade port, fighting Michaels, just an arcade port. You never messed with them. But yeah, Golden Axe just can Outrun just get decimated. It's like, no, man.
Space Harrier.
Oh, Jesus, no. That's just, it's so bad. It's all coming back to me. Mate, I had about 50 or 60 gig worth of footage for all of them. I'd literally sat and I'm stitching them together and I was writing the script. And all I did was I found I was just slagging these games off. Like, you know, I went, this is just no worth it at all. So I just binned it. So. That video will never happen because they're just honestly, they're just not great at all. So,
but if you want to see James make that video, despite the negativity, let us know in the comments and the live chat.
Yes, I've still got the 50 or 60 gig worth of footage sitting there. So,
yeah, you know, we've been called glazers recently, so maybe we can have some negative content come.
That's it. Apparently, I need to, you know, prove that I know about Sega Saturn's flaws. You
But yeah, well, it's interesting because you've got games like Flying Vipers, which is just an arcade port, and then you've got the remakes of Decathlete and Winterheat, which is basically just putting those games in the Virtua Athlete engine, and just taking away all the character of them, making it look so bland. And then of course you've got things like Dragon Force with those really horrible smoothed pixel graphics, look atrocious. But you do have a remake of Panzer Dragoon in there.
Yeah. And that is basically just the Saturn game, like really smoothed out. It looks, you know what it looks like? It looks like whenever you've got your first Voodoo Accelerator card and turned on 3D. Like you took out your shitty whatever it was that was in there. Creative Labs, they never made, graphics cards, they were sound cards. But you know what I mean? You got your first Voodoo or Voodoo 2 and you were able to go into the 3D settings and toggle it on, and ooh, look how smooth that looks. That's what kind of Panzer looks like on PS2. But you can, if I remember right from recording that footage, there is a you can play it in original Saturn mode as well.
Yeah,
So,
John Linneman did a really good video on
yeah.
the Panzer Dragoon, and he covers all the different ports. And I think he said there's not much difference with the Saturn mode, but let's try and Knights is the same, just turns it into makes it 4x3, same resolution, and makes it a little bit more pixelated. But ultimately, the game is mostly the same. But there is a
So
perfectly.
why couldn't Forever Entertainment do that? Just give us a Saturn original mode as well. You can
Well,
choose between.
you can actually play the original Panzer Dragoon in its original format on modern consoles, specifically modern on Xbox consoles. Because if you get to a certain point in Panzer Dragoon Orta, you can unlock the original game. If the remake isn't for you, then get yourself an Xbox, get yourself a copy of Panzer Dragoon Orta, play through that because it's a good game. Not my favorite Panzer Dragoon, but it's still a very good game, and enjoy the port of the first game that comes with that. But yeah, I think that will take us nicely to the end, mate. We tried to be a little bit positive, and then we remember the 2500 games and those car crashes. But it's been a great chat as always, mate. But viewers, listeners, thanks for tuning in. Hope you've enjoyed this one. Maybe you agree, maybe you disagree. Let us know in the chat and the comments below, and maybe on the Discord. All different opinions are valid. Me and James aren't right all the time. We might not even be right any of the time.
Most of the time.
We might just agree with each other. Be completely out of kilter with everyone else. I mean, sometimes we
Apart
don't
from
even.
Virtua Cop 1 and 2.
I was about to say, sometimes James says stupid things like Virtua Cop 1 is better than Virtua Cop 2,
Nice.
or that Panzer Dragoon 1 is better than Panzer Dragoon Zwei, or that Sega Rally is the best game on the Sega Saturn. When it's not, it's actually Nights into Dreams. But all discussion.
We actually disagree a lot more than I realised.
All disagreements are fine. The world would be a very boring and bland place if everyone agreed on everything all the time. So, get those debates in there. Only thing that we ask is just, keep it cordial. Be respectful of one another when you're in those comments, because everyone's opinion is valid. It's just how they see things. So, yeah, get involved in the discussion. Love to hear what you think. If you've enjoyed the video on YouTube, give us a like and a subscribe, as that really helps the channel. And if you want to be extra mega, think about supporting us by becoming a YouTube member with a bunch of awesome perks from as little as 99p, including getting your name read out in the credits for our Akira All Access members, just as James is about to do right now.
Certainly. So let's have a look here. I'm having to go on to our YouTube memberships here because my phone is being used as my camera to try out something. So bear with me for a second. I'm not as prepared as I usually am. So our Akira All Access members that we have today, in no particular order, it should be hopefully the same as it is on the mobile app. We have G-Man, Stiff Peaks, Mikowski, Craig Williamson, Sega Saturn Shiro, Resident SD, P Wall, Peter 007, Andy Mackie, Nick Tullock,
Greg Matthews, Tom Fum, Kaiju Leviathan, we've got Nelson Serino, David Owens, and we have a new Panzer Dragoon Premium member who's just joined us, which is Tom Early. So welcome to the channel. Massive thank you to all our members and subscribers for your continued support. That is very much appreciated. And if a monthly subscription isn't your thing, no problem at all. We really appreciate you guys just joining us, spending your time with us, listening to us moan, listening to us give overly lavish praise to games that we shouldn't be, apparently. But aye, seriously, just, you know, giving us your ears and your time is greatly appreciated. So just thank you for supporting both myself and Dan and the channel.
Yes, second that. Thank you so much for spending your time with us. Really appreciate it. We're over 14,000 subscribers at the time of recording, which is absolutely phenomenal. Remember the days when we were scrabbling around trying to find our first 100, then first 1,000. That for us to have grown this much so quickly is just absolutely amazing. It's all thanks to you and the passion that you guys have for this amazing games company. So thank you so much for tuning in, and we will see you next time on the Sega side.
Here you go.